to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing, 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations, 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation, and 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil. This is Jordan Michael with Corey Stevens on the line. If you were listening last week, we actually took a break. We ran a rerun. We have a couple of negotiation things that we're working on. Negotiation Station 2016. It's going to be a world tour that we're doing. So we had to take a little break, and it's just me and Corey basically for the time being. So we appreciate your patience with that. I do believe that before we took the break, we promised that we would do a show on universality and the nature of the universe and dimensions and souls and their purpose and so on and so forth. So that's what the purpose of our show will be today. And we're basically just sort of holding the YouTube videos and everything in place as well until we can get this one major thing worked out, and that's going to adjust some other stuff that we're doing. So you guys just stick with us, and you're really going to like what's coming. Corey, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. It's a nice day down here on Arizona. And really interesting subject matter today.
That's right. Yeah, and then we could be saying that we're running behind, but I think it's all timed for a reason because of some new developments and some things in the part of the universe that we're moving into. The scientists have recently discovered that there's a big light source and a big black hole in the center of the universe. They're sort of like polar opposites, but they're both emitting waves of some sort, right? So those things are super, super cool. What I can say is that, you know, it really changes your view of creative design if you don't have one, or if you're sort of getting into that just now. It's going to let you know that things are paired up, or they're triplicated up. Usually it's three people or three things or three objects if you really look at what's going on, you know. So it's getting real expansive, and I'm really excited to speak with you guys about some of the stuff that I just know inherently. And Corey, I'm sure you've got some stories to share as well about how you've just sort of come to understand what the nature of our physical reality is and what more is there really to offer outside of the physical. So, So the first example I would say, Corey, actually is the Big Mo's Balloon. This is a guy that was on some metaphysical forums for a while, and his username was Big Mo. I think I actually touched on this a couple of weeks ago. His theory, which seems to fall in line with what I'm thinking, what I've studied, is that the known physical universe, taking into account that we don't know the whole universe, we haven't mapped it, or have we? You know, we don't know. Who knows? There might be some maps anywhere in a bunker somewhere. But the point being, the physical universe, what we know of it, is supposedly just about 4% of what really exists out there. Of a spiritual nature, of a multidimensional nature, all those types of things. And so what they're saying in this example is that there's like this big balloon, and on the surface, on the inside and the outside of the balloon, that is the whole surface, like the surface area. On the inside and the outside, the topographical portion is the 96%, or the non-physical, or the ka, or the void. The ka is being spelled K-H-A-A. You'll find that in certain ancient references. And with it, the space within is also the ka, right? Consists of the ka. But there's these little, I guess, when we talked about this privately, Corey, or perhaps in the last show, you said something like pixels, and that's the perfect example to describe. It's little pixelated hologram creations of stars and universes and constellations and planets and gases and nocticulate clouds, which are huge clouds of H2O and water that exist throughout the universe, right? All of these things are holographic representations of their source energy or their original blueprint. So that's sort of his take on it, is that some entity, some race, some species has actually created you know, created this replication, their attempt to replicate source creativity or energy that's inherent within all of us, that represents your passions, your drives, your want-to-dos, you know, the things that you just want to do. Like, you don't care about anything else like this. I just want to do this. Like, if I could give everything else up, I want to do this. That's the thing that's attached to the source creativity energy. And what's being said is the physical universe that we live in is merely just a hologram. This is being confirmed in physics and things like that. So, Corey, I know you've studied a little bit about the Big Buzz Balloon theory. Would you agree with that? Do you have any other points that you would add on? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I've looked at Big Balls a little bit. It's kind of, it's pretty complex in a way. But the one thing that I resonate with it that you mentioned is I've heard it called like the particle universe in a way, and that it's just like the universe is just kind of just particles of energy. There's no real substance there, even in terms of physical matter.
Packets of energetic vibrational data.
Right, or strings. I guess that ties in with strings theory.
I think and strings has sort of been updated.
Yeah, so the hologram thing, it's kind of an interesting. It's like when you imagine something in your mind, or if you're dreaming, for example, and for all intents and purposes, when you're deep in a dream or deep in a visualization, you can't really tell, and your subconscious can't really tell whether you're dreaming or whether you're in waking time.
Yeah, that's right. Unless you've trained your body, you're not going to be able to know the difference between falling in and out. And then if you've trained your mind, then you'll be able to consciously dictate what's happening there. But if that's not the case, it's sort of like this, oh, what's happening? Is this for real type energy? You know, this confusion or this fog. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. So it's like a big monitor. You know, what we perceive, not just what we see, but what we perceive is really like a big monitor. We never get there's always at least to me, like in some kind of intermediary. You never really have direct contact. You're just getting sense perceptions. Right, you got your five senses, and then you have even in your imaginary, in your third eye, in your imaginary sense perception, even still, there's something indirect there. There's still a organ, if you will, that's perceiving energy or signals, and then you get a picture. But from my understanding, we're not really getting the direct awareness and connection with the source of that picture. We're getting what our organs are translating that energy into to create
That's right.
a picture.
That's right. Yeah, it's a modulation. It's a monitor, exactly like you said. So when it's a good example. When you go to sleep, you leave the body, you travel into the ka, the void, the you nano travel. You know, you shrink down into a bit of your consciousness, and you go out there, right? So, and the source of energy is in the ka, in the void, in the nothingness, in the silence, in the stillness, right? If it's a vibration and if it's physical matter, it's an illusion. It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. It's just a hologram of what's creating it in the void or in the stillness or the silence.
Right.
And, you know, you see this in practices with meditation where you go sit in a cave or, you know, Vipassana, those types of practices, being aware of the body and being in silence. But what's really happening is no matter how much you meditate, there's still this outside interference, these sort of gatekeeper entities that have set up this whole physical reality, you know? Mm. So it's a real thing. It's really happening. And it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to perceive what's really happening on the whole scale unless you just basically. Sorry, I don't know what that was. I was hearing something on my other line there, Corey. My apologies. Yeah, so basically what's happening is if you're not in some sort of awakened or higher vibration, you're not going to be able to perceive directly what your life's purpose or your mission is. There's always going to be that interference. And when it comes to understanding the nature of the universe, if you're just learning, okay, that's what a star looks like, that's what this star looks like, that's what this planet is, oh, Earth is the only planet that has water, and all these different BS facts, right, that are just our perceptions of what we really think these energies are, well, then you're always going to be limited to the projection of the hologram. And if you can open your expansion of your mind to understand that these things are conscious beings. They're sentient entities, the sun, the black holes, the constellations, the clouds, the gaseous things, everything that's in the universe is alive. It's a consciousness. And you're just seeing a representation of it. You're just seeing a fractal, a physical manifestation of it, of where it's at really in the void. Everything all exists in the void. When I say the void, I mean nothingness, like wholeness, openness, not necessarily devoid of anything, but open to receive or create or fulfill any possibility without excluding any one or the other. Does that make sense? That's the true nature. And so if you can engender that in your life or build that in your life of being open to all possibilities, you're going to manifest the direct connection that you're mentioning is so hard to attain, right?
Yeah, it's like you've heard said there's the one, and then there's the infinite multiplicity, right? So
yeah, the individual and the collective,
right? So as we were designed, or as we came to be, we are part of the one, but we have a unique experience. And so there's something in that, call it a separation or distinction, right? Something had to happen in order to make the distinction, to make certain things separate, individual people, individual entities, individual consciousnesses, individual stars, planets. Something had to happen in that mechanism to make or for us to have the perception of being distinct.
That's right.
And yeah, so I think that ties into what you're talking about as far as whatever that mechanism is. It's kind of a false paradigm. It's a false projection, but it's entirely real because that's how we've been constructed to have that distinct experience somehow.
Well, yeah, you're speaking on an important point, which is in this body, there's a lot of pre-programmed software, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the software updates are the conditioning that you receive through your life.
Right.
Which consistently appear to be you're powerless, you can't do anything, you're just a meat puppet in a suit. You're confused about what happens when you die. Nothing really happens after there. You might go to some place where you worship at some dude's feet, or you might go get poked in the ass for all eternity. You know, those are your options, right? That's complete shit. The only goal of everybody in the body while you're here is to learn how to transition from the body and back in from physical and non-physical to such a degree that no one can ever interfere with you, right? Now, we keep talking about the third-party interference, and I have touched on this before in my previous shows. The Gnostics, which were ancient educators, people that were very highly evolved from self-knowledge, right? They had mystery schools where they would sit and meditate and use herbs and crystals and different techniques and shamanistic techniques that were so old that, you know, they were just ingrained in every culture. They would use these things to perceive the other dimensions and to perceive what was really going on. And they were able to see these entities, which are, they call them archons, and blame them for the projection. They are responsible for the creation of the physical universe, right? And so, like, when you look in the Bible, it's like, and he, on the first day, he created the blah, blah, blah. And then people are like, well, how did he exist before the universe was created? What was there before the universe, right? Well, the void, the ka, the openness, the nothingness, right? The everything, the nothing, the something, like we said before. So the Bible story is really creation story of the archons projecting a hologram of the universe, and then let there be light, you know, and all these things.
Let there be the high resolution screen.
To entrance the masses to keep coming back into bodies with forgetting who they really are and what power they really have, right? So yeah, that's the purpose that everyone has. And there's different levels and archetypes and paradigms, you know? So like the sun provides warmth and heat and light and all these different things, and a passageway even for souls to travel through it from black holes and so on and so forth. From they use them as little teleportation things, right? So, you know, they're all conscious beings. They're all extremely conscious. And that's the view of the Gnostics, is that Mother Earth is a conscious sentient entity. Mm-hmm. Right? They call her Sophia or Gaia Sophia. So, and then the service beings, you know, are contracted. It's all contracts and agreements, you know. It's very clear for anybody who's awake to see that it's all agreed upon. Right, and everything is only done by consent. So that's pretty much a breakdown of the universe. There's some controlling structures, and those are managed by the archons, supposedly. And there's also some other service beings, you know, that are like the planets and the stars, so on and so forth, that provide different energies or hold different energetic spaces. And again, that ties into astrology, which we've gone into a little bit. They're agreeing to do those things. So when a ship or something like that tugboats a planet or a star into a different location of the galaxy and mishmashes it up so that they can create a giant freaking machine to keep souls and energies trapped in one place forever and keep using and harvesting their energy, well, that's third-party interference, isn't it? Right?
Right.
So again, everything's contract.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about not full disclosure in those contracts, it would seem.
That's right.
You know what? This is reminding me of the Yaquis, right? You've read some of Carlos Castaneda, right?
I have. Yes.
And the way he describes some of the experiences. Some of the dreaming experiences, right, where they have these scouts or these guides, and they take them on these various journeys to explore different dimensions and things, and then they have the realm of the inorganic beings. It's very similar, where the goal of the shaman was to retain all of his memories and all of his experiences, the details, the recapitulation, right? Going into every aspect, every detail, every memory of your life, and to be able to recall it so that you can carry it with you after you leave the body.
That's right.
And that you avoid getting sucked in back out into the thing and getting your memories wiped, and so that you can get thrown back down here for whatever reason that the third parties have for you. But from what I recall, the Yaqui shaman was all about maintaining his identity, retaining all of his memories, his recollections, experiences, and then passing, you know, leaving the body and going out into whatever next form, but retaining all of that information. So, you know, the whole thing about dropping the veil and, you know, don't look into the white light, and you know, when you come back to Earth, you know, you get your memories wiped, so you kind of have to start all over again and stuff like that. Seems like the Yaquis were aware of that, and I'm sure a lot of other people, a lot of other shamanistic folks, we're aware of that.
Yeah, it's right. Basic training 101. It's self-protection, right. Protect yourself.
Even the Buddhists, even some of the Buddhists.
That's right. You know. Okay, so we're actually going to go to break real quick, Corey, but I do want to touch on that when we get back, like the details, what they're remembering, why they're doing it, the mechanisms. What I mean by that is there's certain energies that you can create and project and tools you can use, and when you're out of the body, they work differently. It's not necessarily a hammer you're going to be using to hammer a nail. You could be using a sound or a word or a symbol or a sign to carry data, information, or to produce a result, right? So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to run to break real quick, and we'll see you when we get back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right, guys, welcome back. Corey, thank you for delving into the shamanistic aspect of what we were talking about. For listeners that just joined us, we're talking about the nature of the universe, how about only 4% of the physical universe that you see, or the physical universe that you see is about 4% of what's really there, I should say. And then 96% is really the void or the silence or the stillness, okay? And that's where the true power is, the creator, the source, the being, all those types of things. So, now when you talk about traveling, you know, when you're going either in a dream state or a trance or what have you, then what you need to do is remember the details. And Corey, you were talking a little bit about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the details are like colors, sounds, maybe words that are spoken at you that you can't quite, you know, that you can't quite, I don't know. Perceive, you can hear it and you sort of know what the person's saying in the dream, but you just for some reason can't remember exactly what it was. So mastering that ability is what needs to happen.
Right. Master while you're out of the body. And also too, remembering your entire waking life as an exercise, to prepare for that recollection in the dream state.
Yeah, and that's something that can be done with the assistance of psychedelics. When you're on a low or a micro dose, something like that, or you know, even with a deep meditation or trance or something that you can induce yourself into, that's something that you're able to do a lot better in an alpha brain state as opposed to your normal conscious state. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let me ask you something. Do you think the dream world is more closer to source or more real, as it were, than the so-called waking world?
Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, we just explained that the physical universe that you're in when you're awake is, you know, just a tiny part of what's really there. And when you travel, right, you're just accessing levels or frequencies that are available to you.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right. So our sensory perceptions are not really implemented. Our waking sensory perceptions are not there when we're dreaming or traveling. So
it morphs. You know, sound can become color, and color can become sound, and symbols that you see could somehow, you know, appear in a book that you read 3 days later after you wake up from the dream. There's all sorts of crazy stuff that can happen that's not necessarily dependent on time,
right,
or, you know, the way time works in this reality. So you could be in the past while you're out of the body, and then when you get back to the body, you're in the present moment, and you see what you saw in the dream, and you wonder what the heck is going on.
Right.
Makes sense. Well, now you know.
Right. So dreaming is accessing source, yet there's still a sense of individuality even in the dream state.
Well, of course, I mean, you're always going to have some sort of connection on a multidimensional level, but you never forget who you are. That's just an illusion. You never forget who you are. If you've forgotten who you are, you've done something completely wrong over multiple different lifetimes, and you're pretty much just screwed. It's going to be a long, let's just be real, it's going to be a long uphill battle for you to get back to some sort of conscious state where you know who you are and right. what you want to do and what your passions are. And, you know, maybe that's what we're seeing manifest, right? Maybe that's why we have all these unconscious people on the planet right now, is because they're just, I don't know, they're just in alignment with it. They're on that vibrational level.
Mm. They don't know otherwise. How about new souls?
Yeah, well, I mean, the newer souls that are coming in, if you look at the difference, look at somebody who's in their 40s and has just been subjected to this vibrational conditioning. They might have started out as the most high-vibe individual possible, and now they're just broken, beaten-down individuals that, you know, that just subservient to everything that's happening on this planet, all these energetic frequencies. It's not bad. It's not good. It's not their fault to an extent. To a certain extent, once they're aware of it, oh, this is happening to me, and they choose to keep doing it, then it's their problem.
The blue pill.
That's right. Let me forget. Let me just forget all this is happening. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is the worst thing you can do yourself. It's a complete waste of time.
Interestingly, the word Iblis in Arabic is one of the names of the devil, if you will. Interesting. So, ignorance is Iblis, I always used to say.
Yeah, it really is. It causes a lot of problems, not just in the body, but when you're traveling and so on and so forth.
So, and then the universe throws drama and trauma and strife at you.
Well, it's your own universe inside doing that, Corey. That happens right. all the time. Somebody's like, "Oh, I'm going to change my life, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm on this 40-week plan," and 1 week in, some little tiny voice in your head, "Oh, you don't need to really do that. It'll be okay. Just 1 day off. You deserve it. You know, just take 1 day off." That's the ego, and then also it could also be some third party interference if you're really trying to do something important, and you know, feed thousands of people and offset negative energies in a certain part of the world, and you try to make plans to do that. Well, there could be some things that manifest in your life to try to keep you from doing it. And one, it could be you challenging yourself. Or two, could be interference. Because there are programs on this planet that keep the energies in alignment with the negativity and the stifled evolution on both an emotional and spiritual level for the entire populace. Anybody in a body here is affected on some level. I don't care how conscious you think you are or evolved you think you are. You are being affected, including myself, on a daily basis. It is what it is. Keep learning, growing, and adapting.
Yeah, and different layers too. There's what we know of commonly as the system, right? There are human custom, right? There's human custom. There's the cabal or the power elite that kind of control everything that happens in terms of media and education and consumption, weather manipulation.
It's just, they're just low-level employees, Corey.
Right.
That's all they are. They're just low-level employees for people that are running a long game for hundreds of thousands of millions of years, however long it goes, right? And we keep talking about the physical universe and the Ka. Well, you need to be trying to access that in any way you can constantly throughout your life, whether that's by doing what you love and entering that zone. Do you know the zone? You know what the zone is, Corey?
The zone where there's no time.
You're a cook. You're a line cook. You've got 40 orders coming up to you. Maybe it's your second day, and you're able to get all those orders done, even though you haven't cooked some of the stuff before. You just get in the zone. You know when it's done. You know when it's ready to come off the grill. You know how to plate it. It just happens. You're in the zone. You never learned that. You didn't get the specifics. You might have got a basic walkthrough, but now you're in the zone. Now, if you can find things that let you get into the zone throughout your life, you're going to practice. You're going to practice without even knowing it for when you're about to leave.
Right. Right.
Does it make sense?
Why,
when you get to your deathbed, you'll be ready.
Right. So the human
in the zone. Yeah, you'll get in the zone on the deathbed, and then boom, you transfer with no problems whatsoever.
Right. So the human experience and the human design does in fact allow for that, for getting into the zone, despite any other interferences that may exist.
It's not allowed. It can't be stopped. The hologram right. cannot stop a source creation or a passion that comes from source.
Right.
Through the call, through your chakra system, through your hormones into your body, which dictates your emotions, which are then balanced off or balanced against your preconceived world notions and worldviews, right? And then you make your decisions and choices accordingly. So if you can get that to flow properly and find your purpose and what you're really doing, then you're sort of cutting through all the physical bullshit, and you're just using this body like a beacon, or sort of this container like a useful vehicle or an engine while you're here to accomplish things that you know you need to do. And if you're just wasting your time watching TV shows and sitting on the couch and participating in the slave system, well, you know, you might be contributing to a valuable society, but you're only contributing to a debt society. Whereas if you're creating your own passions and inspiring others to do so as well, and in the face of doubt, in the face of criticism, you're still doing these things, then you're going to be ready for what you know that you want to do when you leave the body, or what you're continuing to do in between lifetimes. Make sense?
Yes. Getting into the zone, otherwise perhaps referred to as love.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it all ties together, right? Love and compassion and harmony and the zone and, you know, the non-physical universe. Anything that's physical, it's just not worth it, guys. It's not worth it. It's worth it to enjoy and to have in the time being, but it's not worth it to try to hold on to when you're about to go. And I think a lot of people have that realization when they're about to leave. It's like, oh my God, what was I holding on to? All these cars, these clothes, these possessions, this my body image, you know, what good is it doing me now?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been in the presence of people when they expire. I've been in the presence of people within a few hours of them expiring or passing on, if you will. And wow, there's a whole lot of interesting stuff goes on. I've seen people... I'll give you a story. My grandfather, my mother's father, he was probably in his late 80s, and he passed on in like 94. And I came out, you know, mom got on the phone and was like, look, you need to get out here. Not much time left. So I jumped on a plane. I landed, went straight to the hospice. And it was like nighttime, 9 o'clock. And there was my grandfather there. And for all intents and purposes, his physicality, he was a corpse. I mean, you know, like, you know, eyes totally cataract over, you know, lips and tongue black. I mean, it was like he was just... there was something in him that was just kind of holding on, because everything else was ready to go. And I was able to, now this was the guy who he was German. Okay. And, my mother married an African American man, and he wasn't too pleased with that. And then I came out here when I was 2 years old and followed him around and hugged on his legs and followed him everywhere he went. And he kind of changed his tune dramatically. And we had a very special relationship over time. So when I get there, I'm able to – the body wasn't there. The senses weren't there. There was nothing there. So I – basically got into what I would call the dream state with him. And I was able to communicate with him in ways I could see him processing his life, and I could feel when he was coming upon troublesome memories and things, right? Where there would be like a tension in his body.
Yeah.
and he'd start
a clinch of the fist or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and he'd start to descend down. There's definitely a downward sense of a downward movement. And then I would just get in there with him energetically and just breathe with him. And I'm like, whatever it is, it's done. It's over. Forget it. And then I could feel him relax, open up a little bit. And then the downward rush, you know, sort of leveling out and becoming buoyant. And, this went on for like an hour or so. And finally, I got the sense that he was ready. He let me know he was ready. And I happened to have been the youngest cousin out of the whole family, or the youngest grandchild. And just as I was leaving him and I opened the door, and my cousin Valerie, the oldest grandchild in the family, was at the door. And we were the last two people to see him. And she went in after me, and she did her piece, and he went on. So clearly, he was waiting to say goodbye, and that was just, the body was gone. It was just whatever will he had left, I've seen other folks who were very frightened of the death process, I see a lot of older folks who live around here who are like angry because their bodies are breaking down and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I've seen people turn it around in the last second, the last minute, just as you were saying, like, hey, it's over. It's not a big deal.
That's
let
right.
it
when
go.
When you're faced with that, you have the choice to turn away and not look at it. Or you have the choice to embrace it and go, oh, wow. And then the realization of what you already knew comes in. I'm not going to disappear. Myself is not going to disappear. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Even though there's a scary process that's going on right now, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
And that's what's called the release. And you see people let go. And they're just like, oh, and they're gone. Right. And so it's sort of like they still have the conscious control to stay in the body, even though it's breaking down. And they make the final choice. Okay, now I'm going.
Right. It's that realization that, no, I've heard it before that I'm not the body for some people. But everybody gets to that point.
You can hear something and then you have to truly, it has to go through your ego filters, and it happens when you're forced into an uncomfortable or death situation. So
Right. And unfortunately, some people, from my understanding, the body, the separation will occur, but they haven't consciously accepted it, right? The separation of the spirit and the body will occur. The body will fail, but they still haven't made the connection in their consciousness, whatever remains left outside of the body, that they're not their body. So a lot of times people will kind of be, maybe I've heard that that's possibly the origin of ghosts or disembodied spirits, where they're still on the terrestrial program, right? But they're not in the third dimension anymore.
So the ghost, Corey, yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you for bringing that up. The ghost, very simple. Mm. You ready? You guys ready, listeners? You ready? The result of the denial. It's a result of denial at death. What we just talked about, those two options you have, you can embrace it or deny it. You deny that, you're going to split yourself in such a way that you might get amnesia for a while and be stuck sort of in limbo in some sort of altered half state, or you might completely fractal and shatter yourself across millions of universes by mistake. And in all these different dimensions, you're playing out the same death scene over and over. You're playing out the same trapped area over and over. You're stuck in this one spot over and over and over, which is why it takes some outside exertion or force from either a healer, a medium, a mystic, or an exorcist, the latter being a very forceful, aggressive one, dealing with things that are probably not so nice. Well, it takes their energy and exertion to either collaborate and bring all the pieces back together and send it on its way, or to open up an area that it can escape to, or to shock it into memory again, or to get it the hell out, if it's not welcome. So at that point, there's somebody has to step in and be in service, right? So we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about service beings and individualistic beings that exist throughout this universe that we've described to you. And we'll go from there. So we'll see you when we get back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right, welcome back, listeners. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the nature of the universe, talking about different types of contracts and beings, you know, contracted service beings as opposed to individualistic power beings, whether that be, you know, a representation of what would be called a demigod or a god or, you know, some sort of primal, I don't know, like an earth entity or a fire entity or water and air, some sort of elemental, you know, they have been called before.
All these things.
That's right. I classify them in two categories, of which a subcategory of hybrid could be made, depending on which traits are dominant. But two categories, service or individual. An individual being is going to travel throughout the dimensions, throughout the universe. They're going to gain and acquire as much knowledge as possible, not necessarily for the intent of power, control, or manipulation, but for self-enlightenment, so on and so forth. And it will split or dualistically manifest itself in the physical universe as good or bad. So what I mean by that is now you've got these, you know, what you would call the devil or the archontic entities or the reptilians or this or that, which are definitely not service, are they, Corey?
They're individual. I would say individual, sure.
Okay. But then you've got these entities like Jesus and Buddha and Baba Ji and these guys that are walking around that, while they appear to be in service to others, are in service to themselves, and they're just exuding or projecting a small portion of the knowledge that they've gained over their travels, right? It's just sort of like a, you know, hey, I'm tossing. What did they used to toss to the masses as Caesar was walking down? You know, he would toss, you know, little tiny bits of partial gold or like the stuff they didn't want anymore. He would just like toss that to the citizens to keep them happy so they could buy bread. You understand? So free bread. Oh, great. It was just enough, right? And while that might have been just to appease somebody, there's also an altruistic side to it. It's like you're not going to give so much of yourself that you're tying yourself down and killing yourself in this dimension, but you're still going to give a little bit of what you can. And so that's what the Gospels and the Sermons on the Mount and all these things were. It was his individually gained knowledge that he was expressing in this lifetime before he moved on to a different body. You understand? And then on the other side of that, you've got these individuals that are trying to amass as much power and control on an intergalactic and interdimensional scale as possible, which is why you have things are, you know, that's why they are the way they are, basically. We're in a giant prison planet. So on the other side of that, on the flip side, you've got these service beings who are contracted to not necessarily do one thing or another, but to be in service to all, to really embrace unconditional love. So like I said in the beginning of the show, the sun keeps people warm. Black holes reorganize and reconstitute matter and keep the flow of the universe moving so it doesn't stagnate. It helps the expansion and the contraction, right? You've got these different planets that gravitate and create these forces in between each other in an astrological fashion. All of these things are servicing lower orders of energy or lower orders of entities and higher orders, right? So again, it comes back to the neutral balance of in service to all. So in service to just oneself, individual, in service to all without judgment or dictating bad or good, and then the hybrid in between of a being who's pretty much about themselves, but also service to others, and they do it in a sustainable, balanced way, which I consider myself to be growing into something that, like that. That's my goal, you know, consciously. That's what I'm trying to do, because I believe balance is the natural state of harmony in the universe. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but I know you've done some studies into some of these archons, agnostics, and some of these theories as well.
Yeah. You know, the whole, like, you know, the reptilians, for example, as a
of which there are many factions.
Many, right? And that the idea that there's a particular being that either has or can manifest in a third dimensional realm, in the realm that we're accustomed to, and that one of the things that I heard that was really compelling was that that basically they feed off of fear. They feed off of, like for instance, a lot of people on the planet, in my estimation, although they are not aware of it, are adrenaline junkies, right? Basically, well, because stress, like there's so much stress in a typical human life on the planet that there's an almost chronic, a chronic production of adrenaline in the body.
Well, here's what's happening, and it goes into what you're saying. It's so awesome that you know about that type of stuff, the junkie phenomenon, right? Mm. So what you need to understand, it's not just reptilians. Mm. They're just beings that have been contracted or manipulated into exuding their energy the way they do and eating the way they do, which is eating fear, eating negativity, eating energy, right? Mm. But that's just a small part of what the big operation is. You know, the big operation runs on maintaining this universe and this planet and this section of this 4% or this physical recreated thing. It must be fed, it must be energized, and it's this maintaining this negative vibe is what they've chosen as the fuel. Mm-hmm. They could choose positive vibes, they could choose neutral vibes, whatever, but that's what's chosen. And so obviously the archons and these other entities that are they're setting up the structure are going to choose worker bees that are of a similar vibration or have similar interests so that there's no conflicts. And so, yes, reptilians and other species do feed off humans. They don't necessarily eat them. There are some that do, I believe, just like we would eat a cow. But most of them are feeding energetically, and most of them are out of the body. So what you have is people that are taking hard drugs and cocaine and heroin use and all these things may start out with just a vague interest or wanting to try it. But once they open themselves and they don't use that product or that substance consciously or intentionally to have an experience, and they just let themselves go, once that happens, then they're open to being possessed and used and incited or induced into doing it over and over and over.
Right. 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 So some would say that's why some would say that the nature of addiction could be said to be demonic. Like there might be a third party entity involved. It's not just the individual that is addicted to a substance per se, just on a purely chemical basis, but that there's some other kind of energetic force there that's benefiting from that individual using that particular substance.
The experience is stimulating the proper levels of hormones and the proper levels of different types of mixes of chemicals, and it's automatically going to attract on the non-physical level because the hormones and the chemicals have an energetic imprint, a signature, sort of like a radioactive isotope. They're not there smelling the chemicals. They're there looking at this bright light that's shining around you of energy they can suck. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you know, what did I hear? Like large-scale sports events, for example, right? Where you get tons of people, right? Tons of human beings and their various energies.
Or right? Used to feed the machine. You're absolutely right.
And it's this warlike, you know, this side versus that side, and everyone's getting really emotional and really, you know, kill them and you know, so it's this like these giant pools of this particular type of energy of which these entities get to feed on.
What's the bottom line?
That really that resonated with me when I came across that theory that those large scale events, even like events like 9/11, war, large scale,
it all ties disease, events. Famine, everything, genocide, you know, sacrifice, killing on TV or representation in movies of killing and people dying is sacrifice and energetics to get you sucked into it to give your energy to it. It's all bullshit. It's all to feed the machine, which is this giant galactic machine of holding this negative energy, right? And it's also, it's to feed the machine. It's also to keep the energetic vibration in place as a result of the feeding or the fueling. And this is because there are so many high vibe conscious, high vibration individuals that are living in this collective region that it has had to increasingly get tighter. The noose gets tighter and tighter and tighter because, you know, the people are trying to slip out and be free. And more powerful entities keep coming in from different parts of the universe trying to assist and incarnating in bodies and getting, you know, memory wiped. So what are they going to do? They're going to do the best they can, and the other side is going to try to make it as hard as possible for those effects to be felt. Does that make sense? So that's what you're seeing. War, disease, politics, infiltration of governments, black ops, you know, different types of things, breakaway civilizations, extraterrestrial visitation, all of this stuff is all tied together, and it's all just one big op or operation. There's all these different factions, you know, not warring necessarily, but some of them are, but most of them negotiating. When is this planet, when is this region going to be ready for this on a whole? Okay, what interference is happening here? Okay, do we risk our time and value and interfere with these people's right to protect themselves or not protect themselves by going after this warlike race that's harassing them and they don't even know about it because they're out of the ball? Right, do we do that? No, okay, well, do we have some sort of other subversion program where we help these people awaken to what's really going on? Yeah, okay, let's do that. Is that going to take hundreds of thousands of years and it's not necessarily going to be real quick? Okay, great, we'll do that. Right, so that's what you have. You've had help. We've had help this entire time.
Right. I mean, if you look at back to the one, right? Well, the one would have to encompass everything, right? So whatever state, whatever energetic state that could be possible in an infinite oneness. Well, then they are possible and they do exist. So the idea of, you know, the real definitive black and white, good and evil. Well, it's really more like an enormous range of different kinds of energies. And like you were saying, right, the individuals, there's individuals, and then there's kind of there's positive individuals, there's negative individuals, there's servants who would be more on the positive side, if you would. I remember even in Dungeons and Dragons, right? Didn't you have all these different kind of categories?
Yeah, archetypes, yeah. It flows down into kids' games, you know, right. Popular games. You see it everywhere. All these different types of control structures are basically making these classifications, and you're seeing, and it's based off of, it's sort of like a record. It's like if you're going to try to control a bunch of entities, you want to know what types are incorporating or incarnating into that region that you're trying to control. It's all a software program. Right. So that's what's happening. Yeah.
Interesting. I just watched Men in Black the other day I might have seen it years ago when it came out, and just on a whim, I watched it again the other day. And crazy. I mean, some of these Hollywood movies that seem just completely outrageous and completely fantastical, I find them to be more realistic than what we are shown or what we perceive of as reality.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that's exactly why it's presented as fiction, because if you can get the ego to believe that it's not possible and that's the furthest thing away from the truth, then that's what it's going to hold and nobody will ever figure it out. Although you're required to be given disclosure on some level or some form because we're being manipulated. So that's what right. they're doing. The people who are running the show, supposedly in the physical on the planet, are doing this. And you'll understand that every science fiction book, every writing, every book that was written, all these different types of ideas, every artwork, drawing, all of that stuff comes from the void. Like, that's all that creativity comes from the void. The person sat down and wrote it out of the void. It doesn't come from the universe that's physically hologrammed or replicated. And so you're always going to have this authentic origination that's opposing this cabal, if you will, of people that are trying to hold this negative vibration down. These universal principles are where are guiding us, and the more people that fall into alignment with them and start exercising them and operating on their own terms and reincarnating consciously, well, then that's how we really change it, and we can create really what we want at that point. We'll be the ones that create the 4% or make it 100% to match and merge with the void, and it'll be a seamless integration if we want. You understand? So that's what the ascension process is really a seamless integration into the void, as opposed to we're transferring or moving houses out of this bullshit hologram, creating our own house that's linked or tied in to the void. And so we have the source creativity energy from this area where, or non-area, where the God or source or whatever you want to call it exists, and everything's coming out and exuding out of. Right. So, Corey, we're at the end of our show. I'm going to go ahead and throw it to you for our next week's plan. We like to just fly by the seat of our pants sometimes when we don't have guests lined up. We're busy working on the negotiation station, so just keep that in mind. We don't want to do anything too intensive, but we also want to leave our listeners with something new and valuable next week. So what ideas do you have? And I'm going to go along.
Well, we were talking about off-grid living, basically. Off-grid building practices.
Reintegration with earth-bag building, stuff like that. Is that what you're talking
right.
about?
Yeah, the different types of technologies that are available, very inexpensive, harmonious with the environment, using the materials, responding to the environment, working with the environment. You know, I'm a builder myself, and I live in the desert here, and it drives me crazy to see things being built with timber that comes from Canada.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't make sense. You know,
well, it kind of does. It gives the truckers a job. It keeps the transportation industry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's a standardization of building practices and stuff
as well. But Corey, you also have to look at the fact that everything, the transportation, all these things, they have to keep going so that the countries can justify the bonds on the national levels to support the interest payments on a national debt. Because hey, look, the Bank of International Settlements or the IMF, hey, look at us. We're a country that's meeting our gross domestic product levels for you to give us more loans for the next year or the next 5 years. You understand? So it really does tie in for them to show how much they're producing or how much is being transported, and they can log and track and all these different types of things. So the further it has to come, the more value they show, and that's why you're seeing us getting further into more unsustainable practices.
Right.
So I'm totally on board. We're locked in. Next week's listeners is going to be all about earthbag building, sustainability practices, off-grid living, mortgage-free existences, even
energy
if you are
production.
Right. Energy production, all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.